Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2022 Home Education Conference held in Orem, Utah.
How many of you are new to homeschooling? Okay, and how many of you are pulling your kids out of school because they can't read or have problems with reading? Okay. How many of you have kids that have learning disabilities? Okay. And how many of you just have kids that just struggle with reading and you don't know why? Okay. So we're going to talk a little bit. I've done a class that's on our website for LDSHE on dyslexia that talks specifically about dyslexia and what you can do to help your child. But that's not the focus of today's course. Today is talking about the structure of learning to read and how you can troubleshoot those areas and figure out where your child is struggling and some things you can do to help them and then how to encourage them to continue reading. I wish I could show you my PowerPoint presentation, but we'll just muddle on through. So, because it would make things easier. Alrighty. So there are four steps to learning to read. There's pre-reading, where you're introducing letters and talking about sounds and all of that stuff, and then and basics of phonics. And then there's decoding. Decoding is where you actually have words that your kid tries to sound out and figures out how these letters make this word, and it makes these sounds to make this word that sounds like this. So that's decoding. And then you have the step of transitioning from decoding to fluency, which is where you take a child who has to sound out every single word to being able to read without, just fluently, without stopping. They don't have to stop to sound out the word. And then the fourth step is taking that fluency and learning to read with comprehension. So they can take the meaning as they're reading, they're able to understand the meaning of the words that they're reading. So with those four steps, it's not uncommon for kids to struggle in areas. And we'll talk about each of these areas and how we can fix that problem and get our kids reading. Okay, so when you start with kids who are learning to, there's a lot of help for people that are teaching phonics. There's a lot of programs out there, and they tell you, you know, step by step of what you can do, and well, you teach them these sounds and these letters, and but there's a lot, decoding is a lot more complicated than that. How many of you attended the talent show last night? Any of you go? Did anybody see that poster, the kid who held up the poster and asked us how many F's were in the paragraph that he had? How many of you got the number right? Okay, you got it. Okay, so you are probably a left brain person and you see patterns very easily. The rest of us, we looked at those words and we didn't see the F in of. There were three of's in that paragraph and none of us saw the F in the of. Why? Because we look at the shape of the word, not the letters that are in it. So we have to take our children from the phonics, where we've taught them to look at every single letter of that word, to looking at the shape of the word in order to be able to have speed in reading. So as we do that and teach them that concept, a lot of things can happen. But what you can do to help your child is you can play games with them, such as, because they have to look for details. So having them like sort buttons and have them sort, you know, sort by color, and then you sort by detail, and then you sort by size. All of these things teach them to really pay attention to what they're looking at so that they can see what the details are, because especially with visual spatial kids, they look at the big picture and you have a really hard time getting them focused down into actually looking at details, which can be a real struggle for them. There are other games that you can do. get to my slide here. You can use Legos and draw out a shape and then have them use the Legos to fill in that shape so they learn to look at the shape of things. Cross-patterning, which is where you have your child. In order to read, you have to be able to move through both sides of your brain. And some kids have not developed that, and right brain kids have a really hard time because the things that would normally be left brain function are actually on the right side, and they have to reprogram things. And so cross-patterning, which is where they're crawling, having them do patterns with their hands, those kinds of things, you can find a lot of them online on YouTube. They have a lot of different exercises that you can do with your kids. Some kids skip crawling altogether, and that is a huge factor in them not being able to read. If they were early to walk, it usually means they didn't spend enough time crawling, and that means that they didn't pass those, the thought did not pass from one side of the brain to the other. Reading has to do that. They have to be able to access both sides. And so having them do those cross hemisphere things will really help them. Also having them do, they're really popular now, the coloring books with the fine details and you just spend hours coloring. Having them do that, so where they have to, their brain, their eyes, and their hand are all focusing on doing the same thing, will help train their brains so that when they're reading, their eyes and their brain and their finger as they're following along also trigger that same pathways in their brain. Another thing that, some other things. But anyway, so doing those kinds of games with your kids and helping them see the details will really, it will take them from looking at each of the letters and looking at the details of the word. Then once they can understand that, then you can take them to the next level. Once a child learns to, they have to take their, looking at my thing is, take off my glasses so I can read what I've got here. So transitioning from decoding to fluency requires learning patterning. And to learn patterning, you can do these games, but you can also, they need to learn word families. Now, phonics will teach you to teach the kid that, so that they say, okay, so you have the word fat and cat and sat and bat. That's a word family. You change the first letter and the last two letters are the same. That's a word family. And so there's lots of different lists that you can find that have the word families. And by teaching your kid, that's normally part of a phonics program, will have word families and help you teach your child those things. But what they have to do is be able to go past having to sound out and recognize that each of those words in that word family have to sound them out. They should be able to look at them and know what they are. Does that make sense? So that instead of having to say ba-at, then they look at it and go, oh, well, I know this word family because it's got an A-T at the end. Okay, so that's the first letter is a B, so that's bat, fat, cat, and they learn to read because they're familiar with them. And so they learn to see the picture of the word instead of the details of the word. And then the next thing that you can do for patterning is what they call rereading. And that is where you take a passage, and the Book of Mormon is really good for this because not only do your kids hopefully know the stories, they're familiar with them. The reading level is a grade 6 and so and under, so you find an easy passage, Book of Mormon story that your kids know. And the first day you sit down and you talk about everything that's in that verse that you're going to read. You talk about words that they're not going to recognize, that are too hard for them to read. You're going to tell them what they are. So if Nephi's in there, you're not going to say, I want you to sound out Nephi. what you're going to say is, this is the word Nephi. Look at it. You can recognize that this is the word Nephi. And then you're going to find any other words that they don't understand or they don't know. And then you are going to read that out loud to them, and then they are going to read it. So what you're doing is you are familiarizing them with that verse so they know it. Then the next day you're going to come back and you're going to read that same scripture again. But first, you're going to look at the scripture underneath it, and you're going to do the exact same thing that you did with the first one. You're going to look at any words they're not going to know. You're going to talk about any word families you see in it. You're going to completely deconstruct that verse, giving them all the information they need to be able to do that. Then they're going to read the first verse, which they're already familiar with. They're going to read the new verse, which they're not familiar with. And that's the end of your reading lesson. Then the next day, you do it with verse 3. And you do it with 4, and you do it with 5, until you've got 8 to 10 verses that they are very, very familiar with. And then you have them reread that until they can read the entire thing with no mistakes in it, because they almost have it memorized. But what you think that this is a waste of time, but what you're doing is training their brain to look at all the details of what they're reading. They're familiar with it, and so instead of stressing about decoding each and every word that they're reading, they look at it and go, well, I already know this. Well, I know this. I can read this. And so it takes the stress off of it because they're familiar with it. And then they learn something new. So they go over something that's familiar, stress. Familiar, stress. And so it helps them get over the stress of reading, because reading becomes comfortable. Does that make sense? Okay, so those are...
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I'm on to my youngest child right now. We've done this with a few children. He is more dyslexic than his older brother is. Have you tried this with your dyslexic child?
Oh, absolutely.
And so are we finding that there's no short-term memory? So we go over these words.
Okay, and... So part of the not understanding, not having a long-term memory of words, is because of the stress involved with it. And part of it, how old is he?
He's 9.
Okay. He may not be ready to read yet. My dyslexics, the ones that were more severely dyslexic, didn't learn to read till they were 12. They quickly caught up, and now today you would never know. But being patient with that process and not making it a stressful, you can't do this, but making it fun and games, let's try it today and see how far we get. But if they are not developmentally ready to read, which most severely dyslexic kids are not developmentally ready, then you need to go back to the patterning games and the cross-patterning games, exercises, and those kinds of things, and take the stress off the reading and just provide him with opportunities to practice like this, then that will help solve that problem. I would go online. There's some really good people that is their job, and so they have their therapy online for their patients, and so I would go with somebody that really knows what they're doing, and you can just YouTube cross-patterning and come up with some of them, and find the ones that you feel most comfortable with, and there's a lot of them out there. Okay, so once your child is comfortable with the rereading, then you're going to be going into the decoding to fluency. Fluency seems to be related to the neural patterning of the visual sensory intake and the print word processing areas of the occipital lobes, which happen to be on the opposite side of the brains. So you have to get that patterning going and get that. If you've ever seen a brain scan of someone who has dyslexia, if you look at someone who doesn't have dyslexia, it's mostly on the highlights. As they're reading, they've taken brain scans, and you can see the firing going on the left side. If you look at someone who struggles with reading, it goes over to the left side. It goes from the left side to the right side, and you have to completely redo and relearn this patterning. So it's not you. It's physical. So once you understand that and understand that the challenge is physical, if your kid had a broken leg, would you make them walk on a leg that was broken? No. So if they can't read, don't make them read to the point where they feel stupid. That is not the point. That's why we're homeschooling, so that we can school our kids in a way that makes them feel good about themselves and lets them know what their gifts are. If reading is not their gift, they have another one. Help them find that instead of focusing on reading and making them feel stupid because they can't read. So these are some of the things that you can do. Let's talk about some things that you can do to go from decoding to fluency. Now, a lot of kids can get to the point where they can decode words, but people that struggle with it, if it's not an eye problem, then it's getting that information that they're seeing with their eyes to the right place where they can actually speak it. And that can be really challenging. So let's talk about some ways that they can do that, that we can help them. One of the things is reading aloud to your child. I remember sitting there with one of my sons who was 8 and hadn't learned to read yet, and I'm reading this book, and we were doing rereading, and we had gotten through a Bob book. And he looks at me, and he goes, "This was the same way that we read it yesterday." And I said, "Yes." And he goes, "Well, it shouldn't be that way. I mean, this is a story." And I said, "Well, that's because every time you pick up this book, it's going to be exactly the same. That's why there's words on the page, so it's always exactly the same." And he went, "Oh." And I'm like, "I don't understand what you don't understand." And he's like, "I thought it was just you making up the words. I had no idea." But the problem was, is that he was decoding at such a slow rate, he did not understand the story that was in those pages. He was so focused on making the sounds that went with the letters instead of realizing that those words actually made a story. So reading to your child and making sure that they understand, "Oh, look, this is a word you read today. Look, it's right here." Helping them see the connection between what's on that page and the stories that they're listening to can really make a difference. So it's really important to read and read and read to your kids. The next thing is to read with your kid. Having you read a sentence and they read a sentence and you read a sentence helps them understand the continuity of the way things should sound when they're read, and because you're reading it correctly, and then as they struggle to read it, encouraging them. A lot of parents feel like if I can't make my kid decode that word correctly, then I'm not teaching him to read. That is not what you're teaching them. You're teaching them fluency. So if they can't read that word, tell them what that word is. There's no harm in doing that. You're not cheating. It's helping them realize that's what that word looks like. That's what this word means. This is what this word means in this story. That is providing them fluency. So as you do that, you just create a warm, loving environment for them to experiment with words, to experiment with reading. You also need to, another problem that kids have when they're reading, and this I know that I struggled with this, and I still do to a certain extent. How many times have you struggled to spell the word of? How many of you sit there and you go to write it and you can't remember how to spell it because you're having a brain moment? Am I the only one that does that, where you cannot spell a word? It's because you only remember what it sounds like. You can't remember what it looks like. And if you can't remember what it looks like, you can't spell it, right? Like the example of the kid with the poster that none of us could see the F in the O and the of. What you can do, kids who struggle with reading are often visual. They're visual learners. And so for them, they have to see the big picture. and there's a whole list of words. So when they read a word, they see the picture of that word in their heads. Left brain people are less inclined to do this. They see the letters and the words, and they recognize them as letters and words, and they process it as letters and words. Right brain people see, they translate that word that has letters and phonics and all that stuff into a picture in their head. And so if they can't see the picture, they can't read the word. And that may be something that your son is struggling with. He can't see that picture in his head, so it's just a bunch of gobbledygook. If they can identify a picture with that word, then it will stick in their head. So what you can do, some of the things that you can do is, as they're learning these words, they can do flashcards that has the word on one side and a picture on the other, so that you can show them the picture before you show them the word, or vice versa, as you go through these flashcards, so that they can really imprint in their head, okay, this word means this to me, just like my son couldn't understand that books actually had the same story every time you read it. That had not stuck in his brain because he didn't see the pictures. Once you see the pictures, then it's easier to read. But there's a lot of words that don't have, like, what's the picture for it? Changes every time, you know, what does it mean? Well, it changes every time you read a story because it stands for something else. Words such as did, do, each, these are words that kids struggle with because it doesn't really put a picture in their heads. So having your kid go through these types of words, and you can find a reading list of these words at readingkingdom.com. Like the word no, I mean, you think of the word no, it doesn't make phonic sense. How do you picture knowing? It's not surprising that kids struggle with that word. But as you pick these words out through your rereading and through doing flashcards and things like that, then they start to get a picture in their head going, oh, these words make sense. The problem with reading is sometimes we take it down into too small of a picture, and then the kids can't see that picture of what that means. Okay, I'm going through the motions and I'm doing what you're telling me, but it is not making any sense. But if they can see the big picture of what you're trying to accomplish, like when my son realized books are stories, that was eye-opening for him. And then he was more inclined to read because he wanted to know the story. And so teaching your kid these kinds of words helps them understand the vocabulary better, so they understand the story and they can read it. They comprehend the word instead of it being meaningless to them as they read it. Does that make sense? Do you guys know what I'm saying? Okay, so now there's also another set of words that kids, like I'm dyslexic myself, and I will read along and I will hit one of these words and suddenly I don't understand what I'm reading. And I can't go past that word. It's like hitting a brick wall. It's the, of, but, and about. Nobody knows what it is about these words, but these words are like walls to some readers. And so they can't understand the rest of the word. But if you take those words out and teach them, oh, when I see this word, this is what it means. Because how do you give the definition of the? You know, it's difficult unless you tag it with other words. So teaching the by itself, if you teach that word by itself, it has no meaning. But if you attach it with other words, oh, now it makes sense. And so as you take these pieces and parts that are stumbling blocks for your kids and clarify them, that will really help. The, of, but, and about. These are the words I misspell all the time because I still have a problem with them, which is weird. But
are those words that would, I guess, your child learn to read, like if they seem to be struggling with those, they're like keywords looking for something?
Not necessarily. It could be, I mean, it can be a sign of dyslexia because people think that when you're struggling with dyslexia that the letters just go all over. No, your eye tracks differently. And so these words don't track like other words because the sounds don't match up with they're just weird words. And so if you explain this to your kid and they get it, then they probably don't have a serious reading problem. If you explain this and they still struggle with it, then you may have a more serious reading problem. But like in my school district, they don't even say that dyslexia is, they don't do special help for dyslexics. So, okay, so once you get to that point that you've had your kid understand words by doing flashcards so they can see the pictures, and you've talked about words that don't follow phonics rules, and you've talked about words that, like the ones we were just discussing, and you're ready for the next step, and that's where you're reading aloud using the rereading, but you're also using other things that might be helpful. Some of the things that might be helpful, you might try using, instead of having your child track with their finger, if they have problems with eye tracking, even if it's just because they're not developmentally ready, it can help to have a 3x5 card that covers the entire page all the way across the line so that they can, instead of, because one of the things that we teach kids when we have them track with their finger is this word, then this word, then this word, then this word, so fluency doesn't happen. But if they have the 3x5 card that goes along and it says the entire sentence, then they can see that all of those words are connected and that they can read them quickly across and have a different meaning than reading each word by itself. Does that make sense? Because you read the word at the wall, then you read those separately and it doesn't make sense because there's no connection to them. But if they're all underlined at the same time, then the at the wall, oh, they're at the wall. That makes sense. And so helping your child be able to read the entire sentence at one time or see the entire sentence at one time also helps with fluency and allows them to see the bigger picture of reading. So another thing that you can do, so how many of you have Kindle on your phones? You guys have? Okay, so I want you to open up your Kindle. We'll do this real quick. And pick any book, it doesn't matter. The newer the book, the better, because some old books don't have this feature. And as you click on it, you see these three buttons on this, these three little dots on the corner here? Click on that. And you want Word Runner. You've got this list of things. You want Word Runner. Oops. Okay, so this is the most awesome feature for kids who struggle with reading. You're going to find some kids' books, you're going to open Word Runner, and you're going to set it to its lowest setting. And then as you hit go, it shows you one stinking word at a time at the pace you set. So the only thing they have to worry about is that one word. And as they read using this, the only thing they have to focus on is that one word. And then as they get faster and faster at reading, because you can get this thing going at a pretty fast clip, then this will help increase their reading speed. It will help increase your reading speed because it's isolating the words and you're only focusing on that word at a time and you're learning to see it as a whole, not as its parts. And that is the key to fluency. Have you seen those puzzles where they say, show you something and half the letters are missing, but you can still read it? It's because you don't see all the individual letters anymore. You see the word and what the shape of that word is. And having a program like this help them focus on just the shape of the word because it's flying too fast for them to decode, then that increases your reading speed. And it will help you too. So that's an option to help you help your child gain more fluency. Well, because if you read when you're doing your rereading with no punctuation, then it's like the T-shirts, you know, eat grandma or let's eat grandma. Yeah. So showing them what the punctuation means and why we have it will, because a lot of times we don't even teach that. We just assume the kid's going to figure it out. And yeah, and they're puzzled by it, especially things like question marks and exclamation points. They're like, I don't even know what that means. But you really don't understand things like question marks and exclamation points until you understand, because what you don't realize is you are actually tracking a little ahead, so you can tell that needs to have more emphasis because it's got exclamation point, because you don't read the sentence and then go the last word, oh, and you make it. Our brains already know as we're reading along, I know that this is going to have an exclamation point at the end of it, so I'm going to put more emphasis on it as I'm reading it out loud. But we don't teach that to our kids, and so they don't always understand that. So taking the time to explain that to them and explain, okay, this is why this part is exciting, because we've got all these exclamation points in it. And this is why this is so slow, because it's all periods and it just takes forever. Okay, so you can also use the intelligence strengths that your child has. Like I said before, it's usually the visual spatial kids. So emotional intelligence, if you guys don't know what that is, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them. And it's like it's logistic, which is sensitivity to meaning and order of words. Musical, which is rhythmic sensitivity to pitch and rhythm of sounds and the responses to listening or to performing music. Reading aloud is also, you're listening to pitch and rhythm of words. Logical, mathematical, understands the abstractions and cause and effect, the code and pattern of recognition of reading. Visual spatials have an aptitude in understanding the relationships of objects, concepts, and images in different fields of dimensions. In other words, they're the ones that can see in 3D, the rest of us can't. And they're very visual learners. Bodily and kinesthetic, they're able to use fine and gross motor skills with visual and performing arts, physical play, sports, and object manipulation. And they really need to have a lot of hands-on stuff. And then the intrapersonal work well with others, and the interpersonal work well with others. The intrapersonal are more independent and less likely to be influenced by what others think. These can be very valuable as you're trying to teach your kids. These were really popular, like, in the early, 2010, 2012, and then in 2016, they debunked them and said, oh, that's just a bunch of hooey. But new studies are showing that this is actually even more accurate than IQ test to show the aptitude of your children. So using this as a tool in your teaching, especially for reading, helps you understand your child. So if your child is musical, then having music playing in the background while they're studying can really increase their learning. Having a kinesthetic child, like my daughter is dyslexic with ADHD, and getting her to sit down and learning to read was not possible. So I would sit down, she would stand next to me, and every time she did it right, she could pirouette, or she could do a little, dance, whatever she wanted, as a reward for having done something correctly. And so she would dance her way through her math and reading. It was fabulous. Then her primary teacher asked me, so how do you get her to sit still? And I said, I don't. Will you homeschool her? Yes, I do. And she stands up the entire time. But that can really help their learning because they tie everything into how their body is working. Visual spatial, these are the kids that really need the flashcards with pictures, because they see everything in, they think really fast because they think in pictures, and pictures go, and the meaning of pictures goes through a lot faster than trying to translate it to words. So having them do a lot of visual stuff and hands-on, like as they're learning their letters, have them make them out of clay and, you know, write the letters in cornmeal because it's got texture to it, and those kinds of things. That and the kinesthetic will really, it will really help them make that connection in their brains. And then if you have an interpersonal child, having them work, a lot of times we want to give our kids their work and then walk away and hope they do it. The interpersonal really needs someone sitting there. Even if they're not working directly with them, they need that connection with other people. Having them read to others will also help. And understanding that an intrapersonal really wants to be left alone to do their stuff, that can also be really helpful. Let them figure it out on their own and come to you when they need help. So I would look up some more information about that and see how that applies to the children that you're trying to teach. Okay, so the next step is when you are reading for comprehension, a lot of times we just assume that our kids are going to be able to read and understand what they're reading without teaching them the vocabulary words that they're reading. We just assume that they're going to know because they can sound it out. Doesn't mean they know what it means. So teaching for comprehension, building a vocabulary, and it doesn't mean you have to do flashcards. It doesn't mean you have to do that kind of thing, but having, like in our family, we have a word of the day from the dictionary app. We're always learning about words. And we talk about words, and we talk about how silly words are, and, you know, this one sounds so cool, and that one sounds stupid, and, you know, as your kid interacts with words and makes words a part of their life, they're more inclined to read, because words are fascinating, and so if words are fascinating, then maybe stories are fascinating. If stories are fascinating, I should probably read them. Always when you have a child that struggles, always when you're reading through a book, before you start, introduce all of the words that you know they're not going to be able to read and make it okay that they can't read it. And then just say, okay, these are words you haven't been introduced to, so I am going to make sure that you understand this, so this will be fun. Instead of going, okay, you need to sound this word out, and you're not getting to eat until you sound this word out, until we get to the bottom of this page. That is not going to help your child learn to read. Ask me how I know that experience has ever happened to me. So also, when you get books from the library, get books about things they like and that they're interested in, and then introduce words of interest so that as they're reading through it, they know what words to look for. So like if you have my grandson is fascinated with bulldozers. So we get a bulldozer book. We're going to show him the words bulldozer. So every time, this is what they're talking about. This is going to be really cool. Look how many times the word bulldozer is in this book. You're going to learn a lot about bulldozers because this word is in here like 20 times. Then they're like, oh, well, let's read this book about bulldozers. So that creates an interest in words. If they're older, and they're struggling, having them read nonfiction books about their area of passion. Like my oldest, he didn't learn to read till he was 12. And I was struggling to find, how do you find easy readers for a 12-year-old that they will actually sit down and read? So we went to, he wanted to be in the Army, and he wanted to be a, we lived in Alaska at the time, and he wanted to be a wilderness explorer. So we found books on that. And I could not believe it when he came to me and told me that he had read the entire regs of the military special forces book. And I'm like, how did you do that? He didn't understand all of it because he didn't have the vocabulary to understand it, but his interest was piqued. And after that, I would get anything that had anything to do with either of those two subjects, wilderness survival, anything like that, and he would struggle to read those books because he wanted the information that was in them. And if I handed him a fiction book, it was hit and miss whether I could get him to read it or not. Also, build a list of high-frequency words. You don't have to show this to your kid, but words that you know your kid's going to come across frequently, especially if you're giving them books of high interest. Giving them a list of and working through these, okay, let's make sure you can read these words before you read this book, just to make sure that you understand. That will help them because a lot of times they're able to read words that are harder than we give them credit for, and by making them seem like really cool words and you're really doing a great job, and by being able to read them really builds their confidence. So once you get your kid fluent and they can read with comprehension, how do you get them to go from being a reluctant reader to being a reader? Well, there's lots of things that you can do. One of them is reward reading. A lot of times we make reading the worst part of our school day when our kids struggle, and the kid doesn't want to do it, you don't want to do it, and heaven forbid that they would sit down and voluntarily read a book when they struggle with reading. So reward them. Several things that we've done is I made a bunch of circles, and they would write the name of the book that they read, and we would make a caterpillar around the top of the wall, and every time they made, you did this whole wall, then we're going for ice cream, or we did this whole wall, we're going to go horseback riding, we covered this wall, you know, whatever it is, and so they can visually see that they're making progress. Look at all these books you've read. And then you can count them and say, oh, my goodness, look at this. You've read 50 books this year. Helps them realize that they are making progress. A lot of times they just struggle and struggle and struggle, and they don't feel like they've made a difference. We see the difference, but they don't. Also, have them set goals. How many books do you want to read? Have them read chapter books. One of the things that I did with one of my readers is he loved mystery books. So we would read paragraph by paragraph, and we would get to the end of the chapter, and I'd say, oh, man, I've got to go fix dinner. And I would set the book down and walk away. And he had to know what was going to happen in the next chapter. And he would say, Mom, I read ahead. You won't believe what happened. And so that's an idea. Or reading books, you know, any kind of a chapter book that they're interested in. Letting them loose in the library and just pick whatever books they want, whether they can read them or not, will also, when they realize, oh my goodness, I didn't think I could read this book, but I actually can. I can read most of it. Also gives them a boost in their confidence. Reading with older kids, reading books that compare, you contrast and compare. I've given a couple of examples in my handout, but where you take two books on the same subject, and you read both of them, and then you say, okay, so what's the difference? Which author do you like better? Did they explain this better in this book or in this book? And so they stop looking at books as reading and look at it as the gaining of knowledge. That helps as well. And then some kids absolutely do not like reading fiction. It is not something that they just, like my husband is a brainiac. And so for him to sit down and read for me, reading a fiction book is going into a different world. For him, it's like, why am I wasting my time? And so understand that and realize that if your child really does not like reading fiction, it's totally okay. And so I have provided you with a bunch of huge reading list, and it's geared. There's a lot of boys' books in there because there's a lot more girls' books out there that you can find. Finding good books for boys is a little more difficult. But that doesn't mean that the girls can't read these books. It's just ones that hold boys' interests. So you can go through those, and if you have any questions about them, let me know. But this is, it's partially a book list from a particular book that's listed there, but it's also, I've added in books that my boys have liked. So, any questions? Yes, Ogden Nash. Ogden Nash is a great person. Once I was a jellyfish. That is so sellyfish. I mean, his poetry is short, sweet, and kids love it. And that's a very good place to start. But yes, it should be very much imagery and not deep thought, because the deep thought is just going to go right over their heads. But if they can see it as their, and I would do limited poetry as they're younger, and as they get older, they have to be exposed to poetry as part, and using song lyrics as their poetry and having them read the song lyrics can help as well. That could be a good place to start. Any other questions? Yes?
When you're reading to your kids, do you have them follow along with you, or just sit and
listen? That's a good question. So one of the slides I skipped here is, when you're trying to get your child to read out loud and get good fluency in reading out loud, there's three things you can do. You can do choral reading, where you're both reading the same book at the same time, so they can understand the pace of what it's supposed to sound like. You can have them follow along with an audio book that actually reads it word for word. Have them follow along with they're on the same page and follow it along, so they can again see the speed that is appropriate for them to be reading and seeing what that looks like. And then also having them read out loud to their other siblings, their younger siblings, the ones that, but you don't want to put them with somebody that is younger than them that reads well. That's not fair. But if they have like a little baby brother or, you know, a younger sibling, having them read aloud to them can also help them. So does that make sense?
Yeah. Right here it says reading again 50 to 100
words. That's, you start with about 50 words and then gradually for your selections, and then get up to 100 words. Once they get up to about that, then they're ready to go on to a different technique by that point. Okay, so in closing, if nobody has any more questions, I'll just tell you about my 16-year-old. So I have a 16-year-old that he's very auditory, and he's also ADHD, so getting him to sit down and read has been a real struggle. But my goal this year was to get him to actually want to read, and this is part of the rewards part. So finding books that he was even interested in reading, audiobooks, he's listened to probably more than 400 books over his time, because I tied his Lego playing to audiobooks. And so anytime that and now it's just a habit. If he gets out Legos, he puts on an audiobook. It's just part of the process. So he's listened to a lot. But getting him to actually sit down and read, not so much. And so trying to get that to happen, I decided that's my goal for this year. If no other goals get met, this one does. And so we tried different series and different books, and finally he found a series that found an author that he really liked. He read the first series, and going through the first series, I think it was 4 books, took him probably 6 months to get through that. And anybody else could get through it very, very quickly. But getting him to read for a long period of time was very difficult. So I started out with just read one chapter. But the problem with only having your kids read one chapter is they don't get into the story. So once I got him into the habit of reading that one chapter, and every day you're going to be reading this one chapter, okay, now it's going to be 2 chapters. Once you get him into the 2 to 3 chapters a day, that's when they get into the story. And the series that he just finished, this, I bought him, it was 5 book series, big old fatty books, and he read it in a week. I was stunned. I can't afford this child anymore, because he wants all the new books that cost a fortune. But it is possible to take a reluctant reader and gradually go through these steps and make the change from, I don't understand why anybody would sit down and read a book, to going, Mom, where's my next book? Some kids do that naturally, and you don't even know the process. Like half my kids, I didn't have to do anything. They just automatically picked it up. The other half, it's been a struggle. Brandon Mall. Yeah. He absolutely loves all of his stuff. So any other questions? All right, then. Thank you very much.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this record. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.